Please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 12. The book of Genesis, the 12th chapter. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, unto the plain of Moreh, the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he had come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarah his wife, Behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore, it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, This is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. And it came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her, and commended her before Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he entreated Abram well for her sake. He had sheep and oxen, and he asses, men servants, maid servants, she asses, camels. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. Pharaoh called Abram and said, What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidst thou, She is my sister, so that I might have taken her to be to me to wife? Now therefore behold thy wife, take her, and go thy way. The Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away, and his wife, and all that he had. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and gold, and he went on his journey from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai. We'll end our reading there, please. We'll pause now for a word of prayer. Our Father, as we have the Word of God open now before us, we ask for the help of God. We pray for the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. I ask Thee, Lord, to help me to speak as Thy servant, as a messenger in the Word of God. And Lord, take away from us distracting thoughts. Take away from us those things that would plague us in the house of God. Those things that would come to just take away our attention from the Lord's message. Hear our prayers now today, I ask. Draw near and encourage every heart. Save, Lord, save, we beseech Thee, those outside of Christ. Touch the hearts of Thy people, each one of us. Rebuke us where we need that word of rebuke. O God, help us, we pray, to go on with God from strength to strength. Our Father, we're thankful for Mrs. McClellan being here today in the service. We're thankful for Thy hand of mercy, of grace, and of healing on her. Continue, we pray, to bless her. Remember all who have special needs today. Come near and help each one of them. We ask these things for Jesus' sake. Amen. This portion of the Word of God gives to us a period of time about 2,000 years from Adam. The stream of humanity has flowed from Adam to Noah, the time of the ark, the flood that destroyed the world, and then humanity has grown from Noah's time, and now we come to this man called Abram. The line that God chose, one of the lines of Shem, the son of Noah, is brought down to the man called Terah. It's significant, you know, as you follow through the book of Genesis, as you look at chapter 10 and verse 1, the Lord tells us there, "Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah," right after the flood. And then if you move ahead to chapter 11 and verse 27, he said, "Now these are the generations of Terah." And he marks out those two lines, those two aspects of the family. And he does that because God is wanting to bring us to the point of Abram, because he has chosen this man, Abram, to be the man through whom the Messiah will come. And he gives this promise to Abram in the opening verses of chapter 12. He called Abram out of his country and from his kindred. And it appears in chapter 11 in the context that the call or the direction was from Terah, his father, to come out of Ur of the Chaldees. But if you looked in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, chapter 7, where Stephen gives us the account, it reads this: "The glory of God appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan," or Canaan. "And he said unto him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I will show thee." So the command directly came from God to Abram, and he left and went. Some people wonder, when did Abram come to know the Lord? When was he saved? Abram was saved when God called him. And when Abram obeyed the voice of the Lord to leave his former lifestyle and to start a new life of obedience with God. And friend, that is when a person is converted. When they respond to the call of God to repent, to turn from their course of evil, to go on a different pathway, a different course. Friend, have you answered that call today from the Lord to receive Christ and to start a new life? The question, though, comes, why did God take Abram? Why did he not take any number of other families or men that lived in Mesopotamia in the Ur of the Chaldees? Why Abram? Was Abram a righteous man? Was he a holy person? Was he better than any others that lived in that land? The answer has to be no. The reason why God chose Abram was a manifestation of the grace and the love and the kindness of God that was placed upon this man, because he was going to fulfill the purposes of God. We are told in Joshua 24 and verse 2 that, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood. In old time, even Terah, the father of Abram, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods." So the whole family, the whole upbringing were idolaters that lived in Mesopotamia. And so the fact that God called Abram out was merely because he chose a purpose for this man. He set his love upon him, and the Messiah was going to come through this line. God was going to bring his son, the salvation of the world, through him. And upon the death of Terah, Abram commenced his journey into Canaan, and he came to Mount Moriah. Chapter 12 and verse 6, and it tells us when he came into that land, the Canaanite was in the land. A point of information, a point to let us understand that he did not come to a land that was uninhabited. He didn't come into a land that was completely barren and uncivilized. He sojourned in a land where the Canaanite was there. Abram presents for us a picture of the life of a child of God, the life of a Christian. Your life, my friend, today. My life. And so as we examine these men and women of God in the Scripture, and Abram is one for us that is set forward as an example to us, we can learn many precious things from us. And what I want you to think about today in Abram's life, set back, but not stopped. Set back, but not stopped. What can we learn about the life of this young Christian man? First of all, I want you to notice with me from chapter 12, the presence of God was at the place of the altar. Verses 7 and 8 of chapter 12. First of all, in verse 7, it says, "And the Lord appeared unto Abram, and he said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him." The first recorded meeting with God in Canaan. The first introduction we have of Abram, it is an introduction where he is at the place of the altar where he meets with God. And at that point is where God speaks to him again and reminds him of the promise he had given to him at a slightly earlier occasion. He tells him about the promise of the Messiah coming through him, about all families of the earth being blessed as a result of what God is going to do through this man. And my friend, we find in our Christian walk, the Lord will give to us the gentle reassurances to his people of his loving and tender guiding and directing hand. The Lord repeated to Abram here exactly what he was going to do through him. He was going to give this land unto his seed, and he was going to bless all peoples of the earth through the children of Abram. This reassurance was necessary for God's servant because the Canaanite was in the land. And their ungodly activity certainly would not have encouraged Abraham in his new walk of faith. You see, God called him out of such activity. He called him out of idolatry, but they're still practicing idolatry. And the Lord knew that as a young believer, he was very much in danger of being influenced by the world. Very much in danger of that powerful reasoning, that powerful philosophy of the world having an impact to set back Abram on his journey. So what does the Lord do? As Abram comes in, the Lord meets with him. He tells him again of the purpose for his life, of the goal that he is going to accomplish. And then we find that Abram sets up an altar. Now his wife Sarai at this time had no child. We're told that in chapter 11 and verse 30. And you know, when God gives a promise to us, many times the fulfillment of that promise seems to be impossible. It is such a time like this that we have to engage the eye of faith that has to overrule the eye of sight or the seeing through natural means. God's people have had to walk in faith when circumstances give ample evidence that it's all wrong and it's not going to work. It's impossible to see this fulfilled. It's at a time like that, friend, that you have to lean on the Lord. And you must lean on God with all your understanding. And you can't rest upon your own wit. You can't rest upon your own sight or reasoning, but you must trust in Him. And you must at that point rest upon the Lord with all your heart, with all your understanding. Because God, who knows the plan from beginning to end, He's working out His purpose, but you don't see the end yet. Neither did Abram. Sarah didn't have a child, but God said He was going to have a child. Do you know how old Abram is now? 75. That's when God called him. He's not a young man. Oh, he's young in the faith, but he's not a young man. 75 years of age. But we're told in verse 7 that he built an altar and he worshiped the Lord. Where did he worship? He worshiped, my friend, at the place of the sacrifice. Wherever Abram had set up his tent, he built an altar. And as yet he had no land to call his own, he was in the midst of a godless people, in a godless place, a stranger in a strange land. But we find him, he is setting up a place where he's going to worship the Lord. We often find ourselves, believer, don't we, in an ungodly world in our daily duties when we follow the purposes of God in our life. Do we without shame set up the altar of our Christian testimony in the workplace? Oh, I'm not talking about anything made of stone. You know what I'm talking about. I'm thinking, do you as a believer in an ungodly place clearly make testimony that you are a Christian? That you're not ashamed of these things? Here was Abram, the Canaanite in the land. They saw him, they were watching him, they knew him, and there he sets up an altar. He is going to make sacrifice to his God. He's going to testify to all around, I am not part of the operation that's going on here. I am making testimony that the way of the Lord is different. And my way is different because God has called me to do something different. And as Christians in this world, we are to make a testimony by our words, by our actions. As people look upon us, do they see us being separate or Christian? Are we too often involved with warming ourselves by the fire of the world? And sometimes we might be mistaken as friends of Jesus, but only by a mistake, as our testimony may not be that clear. Let's be careful. We are to shine as lights in a very dark world and not to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That's what the Apostle Paul said. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? For it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But we find that he moved from verse 7. He moved his location in the 8th verse. He removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai or Ai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and he called on the name of the Lord. Did you notice what was added to this? Oh, he moved his tent, he moved his location, And at the new location, he also set up and built another altar where he was going to make sacrifice. But it tells us there that he called on the name of the Lord. Why is that information added to us? I think, friend, it tells us something of the advancement, of the development of Abram in his own walk and journey of faith. He was growing to learn something more about the Lord. And you know, when we come to Christ as infants in our faith, a lot of things have to be excused to us, don't they? Because we make a lot of mistakes, or our faith may not be manifesting itself as fully as it should be. But you know, as we go on and we take another step for the Lord, then we find that we're stepping closer to Him in our personal communion, in our times of prayer. At least that's the way it should be. We need to come closer to the Lord. And Abram was growing in his own faith. He was developing in his walk with the Lord and his communion with the Savior. And you'll know again where he met the Lord. It was at the place of the sacrifice. Where do we meet with God, friends? We will meet with our Savior at the place of the sacrifice. It's on the ground of the finished work of our Redeemer. It's on that place and at that place, that location, that we will come to commune with our God. And the Lord has promised to us we shall have peace. And we shall have assurance. We shall have welcome. We shall have all the welcome that we need to come into His presence with true joy. Do you use the benefit that God has provided for you, believer? Or have you wandered far off? Did Abraham know who Jesus Christ was? In John 8:56, the Lord said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Yes, Abraham knew that Christ the Messiah was going to come. He believed in faith in that promise that God had given to him. But let's move on secondly, because there was a problem that occurred, and the problem was famine. And Abram was, we could say, distracted. Chapter 12 and verse 10. "And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land." The note there is given to us by way of explanation for the famine. It was a grievous famine. It seemed to be a case of life and of death, for Abram had the responsibility of his entire household and all those that were with him as he had brought them into the new land. But here, my friend, is a test. Here's a test of the faith, this newfound faith, though a 75-year-old man still, though an infant, in the land of promise. A land of plenty, a land of prosperity. What? I come into this new land and all of a sudden there's a famine here? This isn't right, Lord. Something's wrong here. It's not working out the way that I'd thought it was going to work out. Certainly wasn't working out the way I thought the promise was going to be fulfilled. Is it not true, my friends, that we can be very guilty of questioning God when we don't see things working out in our minds, in the circumstances around us, the way we perceive the promise should be fulfilled? Have you been there before? I know I have. I know I've been there many, many times where I've been brought to question, "Lord, this just is not right. It's just not going the way it should be going. It seems to be against the promise of the Word of God. It's against everything that I can see revealed in the book. It's not right." What do you do in a case like that? This was a test for Abram. Matthew Henry said, "It is possible for a man to be in the way of duty, to be in the way of happiness, and yet to meet with great troubles and disappointments." That's the picture and the truth of life. Well, in verse 10, we are also told about Abram that he went down to Egypt. This was not toward his homeland. He wasn't going back to Mesopotamia, but he was going down, and it's a geographical description, for Egypt was toward the south. Yet this phrase has often been taken to mean a setback. A setback, as Egypt is in Scripture a place of bondage and captivity. It was for the people of God, going to be many years after Abram. But it comes clearly as a picture of the world. A picture where we're in bondage before we are released by the salvation of God's grace and brought into our Christian journey, delivered from the place of bondage. But now we find a strange thing, because Abram, he's going back down. This was a downturn, my friends, in the life of this man. When Abram left Canaan because of the famine, he appears to have done so on his own understanding. There is no word in the Scripture given whereby he sought communion with the Lord to ask direction. He doesn't tell us anything about that. It just says that the famine was grievous in the land, and so he went down to Egypt. But Abraham was being tested. We know him as a man of faith, and yet he, like every believer, is going to have to learn what trusting in God is all about. And that means just not when things are going well in your life, friend, but when things are not going well and every circumstance is militating against you. What do you do then? You cannot see the way forward. Things are clouded, it's foggy, it's confusing. Abram went down to Egypt, and though that may not have itself been a sinful thing to move one place geographically, but the point is that what he did while he was in Egypt was most certainly the wrong behavior. Because he started out by asking his own wife Sarah to say that she was the sister. It was a shrouded truth. It was a half lie. Because indeed, Sarah was a half-sister, but she was most certainly his wife. And you see, this lie, like all lies, was spawned because of selfishness and mistrust of God. He went down to Egypt. That was one thing, not directed by the Lord. But yet, here we find him before a heathen king. What of Abram's testimony? He's been confronted as being a liar. He's been found out by this godless king, a king that he should have had a testimony toward. And why? Abram was afraid that he was going to die for the case of his wife. And so he contrives this plan, this scheme. And the heathen king is going to have to rebuke Abram. His testimony before the king was certainly damaged. See, lying is not the way of faith, friends. Lying is the way of the devil. It is the way of the flesh, the way of the world. The world lies. Lies are told in every facet, every action of life, every communication that a person has in the workplace. They're all filled with lies and deception. The picture is painted so rosy and clear, but underneath is the truth. The child of God is not to be marked in their life as a liar. You must be a true person. We must shine as lights in the world. It is not God's way to be walking in deception. God will not allow you, friend, to get away with a deceptive lifestyle. And He will reveal your lies to you. They'll come to the forefront one way or another. Ah, friends, let us be certain that we're going to be transparently honest as God's people, one with another. We're going to be honest and true. How many opportunities, mothers, have you had in your life of showing opportunities, showing honesty to your children. And the testimony that you have given to them in the everyday acts of life, that living in truth and honesty is what's going to encourage your children to see this is the right pathway. Oh, will our children always follow that way? No. But we have, and you have, mums, perhaps a greater impact upon the development of your children to be truthful and showing the way of faith, the way of righteousness, the way of honor. Take that responsibility that God has laid upon you. Have you been diverted, possibly from your way? Has something unforeseen happened and you cannot reasonably explain it? My friend, even though you can't explain it, God knows all about it. It's a test. It's a trial of your faith. It may be the reason that you've been set back in your life. But the Lord will bring the truth to the forefront. He will show you His way. Trust in Him and don't be afraid, because in time the truth will come out. But let's suppose the truth doesn't come out until eternity. Never mind that. God will make His will and His way known. Walk in truthfulness. Walk in honor. Walk before the Lord. Yes, the testimony that Abram had here was damaged before this man, but the Lord had proved him. The Lord had overruled him. The Lord had helped him, and He brought him safely out. And God put a block because he plagued the house of Pharaoh. He would not allow Pharaoh to touch Sarah. He wouldn't allow her to take her as his wife. And God put a shield around her. And you know, God has promised by His own hand to guide and direct His purposes. And the Lord overrules our sinfulness, doesn't He? He overrules our mistakes, and He will guard and guide and keep us, and He will stop us from self-destruction, because He has a purpose and a plan for us. Then look with me, thirdly, at the path that Abram revisited, the path that he revisited. It's the journey back home, the journey back into fellowship with God. Chapter 13 and verse 1. It says, "And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south." You notice it says there that Abram went, he and his wife, emphasizing that she was his wife, not his sister, and she went with him. And Abram was delivered by the Lord. But it's so precious because those words are given to us that he went up. He went back toward the place where he started. There came a day when Abram had to start his journey back. It was a recovering of the same steps that he had taken all the way down that led him away. And friend, when you think of that story, or the story of the prodigal son, every step that the prodigal took away from home until he was feeding at the husks and starving himself and realizing that back in his father's home, back in the will of God, back in the place where there was blessing and security, he was going to have to take a long journey home. Have you been away from the Lord? Have you wandered off? Friends, there is a journey home that has to be taken. Don't miss the message. Don't miss the message. Because every step you take away from God, it will be steps that you must recover to come back again. It may be hard. It's going to be arduous. It's not an easy walk back. In the prodigal's case, he quite likely had no shoes. His attire was in rags. In Abram's case, he had the journey up in altitude, and it was a long, hard walk up. The walk down was a bit easier. Geographically, he was going downhill, but he's walking back up into the place where he was before. It may be that some here have taken quite a journey away from the Lord. I wonder, have you sickened yourself yet with the things of this world, and you long for the sweet fellowship with God that once you knew? Well, it's time to make that journey back. And Abram did that. He went up back to the place where the altar was. And then finally, the place of the altar where the priority in his life was restored. We find this in verses 3 and 4 of chapter 13. It says, "And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai. Unto," note verse 4, "the place of the altar which he had made there at the first." And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. First of all, he went down to Egypt. The Lord convicted him, revealed his sin, and then he went up out of Egypt. And now, friend, we're told that he is going on in his journey. And that's the life of the child of the Lord. The place of fellowship has now been restored. He's back to the place of the altar, the sacrifice. He's back to the cross where he has confessed his sin. And now he can go on with God. He's going forward. And that's the place for us, that we might go on back to the place where we were at the beginning, because now he can start over. Now he's going to be able to fresh start. And the Lord is very gracious, isn't he? For he gives us all fresh starts to our Christian walk. And I believe that the Lord has been gracious to you here today, and he's brought you here even to hear the word. And he's given you an opportunity for a fresh start this morning. Rededicate your life, believer, unto him. God is gracious. At the sound of your voice, he will hear. He will come. He will minister to your soul's desire. And he will put you back in that place of fellowship with him again. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we know that the way of the cross leads home. And we realize, Lord, that apart from thy directing grace, thy preserving and keeping grace, we would all be long gone and away. Save us, O God, from ourselves, we pray. Help us not to be diverted from our course. Help us to stay on the straight and narrow in the center of the will of God. Hear our prayer now today, and specifically, Lord, I ask that you would be pleased to minister to the hearts of some soul who is particularly going through a time of wandering, a time of diversion. Bring them back, we pray, to simple faith and trust in the Savior, to resting in the Word of God. Renew, O God, their devotion. Come near to their aid, we pray. And Father, any today who are without the Savior, please speak to their heart. Let them know that that call of faith, that call of repentance, at the sound of their voice, thou wilt hear and answer. So bless us now today, we ask. In our Savior's precious name we pray. Amen.